everybody. Welcome to the Call On It NFL Roundup for Week 4. My name's Alex Barth. I'm joined by Alex Lebowitz. We will, this time, as we do every week, recap all the NFL action. And really, the league's been turned upside down on its head. The Patriots and Jets are tied. The Bills are in first place for the AFC East. We lost a couple of promising quarterbacks that both got injured in the same week last week as well. It's really just kind of all over the place. We have teams that were supposed to lead divisions getting blown out. We have a team that was picked as a Super Bowl favorite fall to 0-4. It's a mess, Lebowitz.
Yeah, absolutely. There's really no dominant team in the NFL. We usually have one that's at the top of the pile, and then, you know, a couple other contenders. But right now, there's a ton of teams that are just underperforming, and obviously the Giants come to mind. In New England, the Patriots have to come to mind with the way they played today, the way they played last week. Their defense, huge question mark there, especially in that secondary with Stephon Gilmore. But yeah, there's a lot of surprising turn of events in the NFL right now. Even the Jets and the Patriots have the same record right now. If you told me that would be the case Week 4, you know, in the preseason, I would have said you're crazy. I would have expected the Patriots to be 4-0, the Jets to be 0-4, but the Jets are staying in games. The Pats are losing games that they should win. Almost an upset today. Couldn't get the job done, but still, a ton of odd things happening. The Rams being the Cowboys, just teams that shouldn't win against the teams that they're beating are doing exactly that, which, you know, it's a shocker, but I think it's no, not necessarily a terrible thing. I think it's, if anything, it's more parity in the NFL, which is always good. But yeah, today, an interesting Sunday. Still, the quality of football not great. London football sucks. I hate it. But yeah, just another week in the NFL, and quarter of the way through, we are we've got kind of an unexpected turn of events in the league.
So like say every week, if you guys have any questions or comments, stuff that you want us to touch on, feel free to put it in the chat over there on the right. More than happy to get to it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Callin' It Podcast. Subscribe on iTunes and SoundCloud as well. Lebowitz, we'll start with the Patriots. We will have more on this on the show tomorrow. It's going to be a wild show tomorrow. Just for the record, we'll have Nick Gelso of CLNS Media in studio for our Celtics season preview. Of course, we'll have our Bruins season preview as well. We'll break down this game and get you started with the and get you started for the Red Sox playoff run. All four sports in action as we stand right now. Hey, if the Red Sox, and we'll get to this tomorrow, if they win this first series, we could have all four sports playing regulation or postseason games for at least 1 week there in October. So that'll be a lot of fun. But let's start with the Patriots. They fall to the Carolina Panthers, 33-30. They are now 2-2. They are 1-2 at home. I'm just going to have one quick thought. I'll expand on this tomorrow. Stephon Gilmore may be the worst cornerback in the NFL. That's all I have to say right now. Okay, because if I start, I'm not going to stop.
It's been very rough for him. And we were talking about this before the show. Could be a number of things, you know, not knowing the playbook, miscommunication. But the reality is that he has been a net negative for the Patriots this season. And that's not what you expect from a guy who got the contract that he did. Definitely disheartening. Good news, Tom Brady is still playing unbelievably. I still think the Patriots will turn it around. They always seem to do that. And I think this defense, this is kind of the take I'm sticking with. They'll be better, you know, a month down the line. The first quarter of the season is always their roughest. So it looks bad. It is bad, but it's definitely fixable for the Pats.
It's not fixable for Stephon Gilmore. We'll get into that more tomorrow, though. Again, that show will be up on our Twitter account at Callin' It Podcast. You can check it out there. We'll start with the morning game. I lost fantasy because I forgot there was a London game. I hate these 9:30 starts. I had Willie Snead in my lineup. Dolphins get shut out by the Saints. The one AFC East team that is kind of playing to character, the Dolphins are now 1-2 after the week off, but they get blown out by New Orleans.
Yeah, Jay Cutler is brutal. I think we already established that. One play that stuck out to me is when they were running the Wildcat and he was out wide and he literally had his hand on his hip and just looked like he was at the beach. It was peak Jay Cutler, but it kind of gives you insight into why the Dolphins got shut out by the Saints today. You know, a team that has a notoriously horrible defense. I also hate London games. I think that every team's going to play worse when you go to London in a different time zone. You're not going to be, you're going to be more fatigued. I think they'd need to like cut it out with these games or be smarter with the timing of them. But yeah, Dolphins suck. We knew that. Saints are what we thought they were. And yeah, Jay Cutler's just a brutal quarterback. So he shouldn't have came back.
All right. Elsewhere, you've got my device moves very slowly here that I read the scores off of the Bengals and the Browns, two garbage teams out of the AFC South. Bengals take this one 31-7. I had some hopes for the Browns this year. I thought they might win four or five games. I liked what they did this offseason. They're now 0-4, and the Bengals finally put it together. Andy Dalton, AJ Green finally get the connection working for the first time in 2017, but I wouldn't look at this as too much of a positive for Cincinnati.
Yeah, they beat the Browns. I mean, they're still the Browns. They're better. They're an upgraded version of the Browns, but they're still the Cleveland Browns, and they're still not very good. They're young. Maybe in 2-3 years, they're above 500. Maybe a playoff contender. Who knows? But a couple things are clear. One, they're not even close to that point yet of even winning that division, competing for that division. And two, DeShone Kizer is not the guy. Another rough game for him. It's good to see Andy Dalton finally get on the same page as AJ Green and the offense starting to click. But a crap division and just one team that was not quite as bad as the other, in my opinion.
The Bills and the Falcons, Buffalo at top the AFC East at 3-1. They take down Atlanta, their first loss in the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Are the Bills legit? Are the Bills legit?
No, I think this goes back. This goes back to my previous point. There's really no standout dominant team. The Falcons were one of those teams that people thought would, you know, have a good year if it wasn't for a Super Bowl hangover. But you know, they're just not as sharp as they should be. There's really no team that's super sharp. And the Bills aren't as bad as we anticipated them being. They played pretty well today. They had a really good second half, and they came back to win it. But again, there's really no clear-cut dominant team, and I think this game was kind of proves that.
I look back to 2014. The Bills led the division. The Patriots were 2-2. So I'm not sold on the Bills yet. They tend to be quick starters and they falter at the end. But that was 3 years ago. So we'll see. It's definitely getting interesting. There's a lot of hope in Buffalo right now. But what happens when there's hope in Buffalo? Usually gets crushed.
Yes.
This was probably the upset of the day. The Rams go into Big D and beat the Dallas Cowboys 35-30. The Los Angeles Rams doing it with offense and defense. They are now 3-1. I'm very excited for Rams Seahawks.
Yeah, it looks like it might be a good game. There's one team that's overachieving, one that's underachieving. So when they meet, could make for a really good battle. But yeah, the Cowboys, it seems like they've taken a step down this year. Just not the same team. They haven't been as sharp. Maybe it's a sophomore slump from Dak and Zeke. But you got to give credit to the Rams. Goff is looking much improved. Todd Gurley is looking like one of the top running backs in the league. And you just got to give credit to this new coaching staff as well.
I thought the Cowboys played fine today. I just thought the Rams played better. That actually is going to end up being a good team. And maybe, just maybe, they found a quarterback. We'll see. Again, only 4 weeks in as we hit the quarter pole. Lions over the Vikings, 14-7. Minnesota's now had a couple of tough weeks on offense. They locked it down a little better defensively, but Detroit grabs the lead of the division at 3-1. Matt Stafford, I mean, nobody's worth the contract they gave him, but he looked pretty good today.
Yeah, they're 3-1. The Lions are looking like a decent team. Looks like they'll be in the playoffs. But for the Vikings, tough loss. Dalvin Cooks is going to be out for the season. It looks like ACL tear, and he was having a great rookie campaign so far. A guy who was probably going to be up for offensive rookie of the year. I know we're only week four, but still really good first quarter of the season. And that sucks, especially given the fact that you have Case Keenum under center. I'm not really up to date on Sam Bradford's injury. I don't know when he'll be back, but it's a depleted offense, and this is a team in the Vikings that we thought would make the playoffs and compete with the Packers in that division.
A second year in a row that the Vikings have put together a good team and just have been decimated by injuries and more what-ifs in Minnesota. Tough, tough year for them. And with Bradford, I think it's a bone spur in his foot or his knee. It's the kind of thing where he's going to be week to week. They're not going to know. Jets and the Jaguars. The Jets are 2-2, so I'm liking my pick of them not being the worst team in football. And all those Jets fans, some of whom we know, Lebowitz,
yeah,
who said they didn't care about the result, are suddenly talking playoffs. Meanwhile, the Jags fall again. They can only score in London. Are you buying both of these teams are at 500, a quarter of the way into the season. Are you buying in on any either of these teams maybe making a run? It was a close game. They went to overtime.
They're both kind of similar in a way. They both have a decent amount of talent, at least on the defensive end, and they just but not very well coached and just offensively not where they should be at all. I want the Jets to keep winning though. Like, win 7 games. Have a 10th overall pick so that you lose out on a quarterback. I have no problem seeing the Jets win with the roster they had. They're probably not as bad as we thought. I think the take that kind of prevails from the start of the season that a lot of people had was that this defense would keep them in games. You had that take. Their defense is good enough to keep them in games. Today was a perfect example of that. But you also have to acknowledge that the Jaguars suck. And a team that I thought would, you know, take a step up this year has done the opposite of that.
The Steelers and the Ravens. Pittsburgh wins this one 26-9. Ravens have come back down to earth after starting 2-0. They have been blown out twice. They are 2-2. The Steelers, all of a sudden, with the Patriots' struggles, are the favorites to win the Super Bowl. Who would have thought? But did you see the story from this one? Did you see Antonio Brown throwing a fit on the sideline because Ben Roethlisberger missed him open? Teams like that, with those kind of issues, they don't succeed deep into the year because they're going to start getting at each other in that locker room. And nothing takes a team south fast than when the players start to go at it with each other.
Well, Antonio Brown's also kind of an idiot. I don't think he gets enough crap from...
Oh, no, 100%. I 100% agree with that.
So it doesn't surprise me that he did that. The Facebook video from last year, the Instagram model that exposed him, there was a bunch of stuff. Most talented wide receiver in the NFL, probably, but not the best locker room guy, it seems like. The Steelers are good. They are probably they probably are the favorites right now, the number one team in the AFC. The Ravens do suck though, and they had a couple good weeks to start the season against pretty crappy teams. And to me, this kind of starts the conversations for Harbaugh being on the hot seat. He's been there for a while. He had one really good year, but since 2013, what has he really done?
And that's an interesting take that he could be on his way out. Going back to the Antonio Brown thing, another coaching situation. Mike Tomlin has been getting a lot of criticism the last couple of years, and it will be interesting to see how he handles this. Him and Antonio Brown have not always gotten along. It is his best player, but he's throwing Gatorade coolers. He's yelling at coaches. He's yelling at teammates. You need to do something to make an example of him if you're Mike Tomlin. I don't care if it's popular with the fans. You can't let this guy get away with it, because once the players start running the locker room, well, it's the Boston Red Sox. But more on that tomorrow. This was Deshaun Watson for real. Texans 57, Titans 14. Marcus Mariota goes out with an injury. Houston offense rolls again. I was low on Deshaun Watson. I'll say it for the second week in a row. I'm really liking what I'm seeing from him. Tennessee has a good defense, and he took him to task.
Yeah, absolutely. This will also show us what Bill O'Brien is made of. He's a guy who's never had a good quarterback. Now all of a sudden he drafted the guy in Deshaun Watson who's looking like he might pan out. He's had the defense. He's had the number one wide receiver in DeAndre Hopkins. Now he has his QB. What's Bill O'Brien's ceiling as a coach? And how will Houston sustain this? It seems like they're clearly the best team in their division. And since they've gone away from Savage, they've been looking really, really good. And it also looks like last week's game against the Pats wasn't really fluky. Deshaun Watson's looking really good. He's calm. He's not playing like a rookie right now at all.
Yeah, you talk about the rookie of the year with Dalvin Cook. I think Deshaun Watson's getting ready to run away with it.
Yeah.
Eagles need a late touchdown to beat the Chargers 26-24. LeGarrette Blount, 16 carries, a 130 in this one. He looked good. Chargers are 0-4. Some people had them as the Super Bowl favorites, and it's tough. When the Eagles had the game-clinching run from Blount, he picked up a first down with, I want to say, like a minute 20 to go. The Chargers had used their last timeout, and it was clear the Eagles were going to win the game. That stadium erupted in L.A. on the other side of the country. I don't know what the Chargers are doing in Los Angeles. I don't think they know what they're doing in Los Angeles. That team could be moved again real quick. They're not playing well. They're not playing in an NFL stadium. They can't even get anybody out to fill 36,000 seats. It's a mess for them, absolute mess for them right now. That team has been on the verge of being blown up for 3 or 4 years now, and 0-4 start doesn't get any easier for them. Clearly, that division, the AFC West, is legit, as we'll talk about in a bit with the Broncos and the Raiders. Some people, Will Brinson, NFL.com, I think, wherever Brinson is, he had them as the Super Bowl favorites, and he wasn't alone. So this team has clearly fooled a lot of people, and I didn't think they were going to be the Super Bowl favorites. I didn't really even think of them as a playoff team. I didn't think they were this bad, though.
No, not at all. And back to your point about them being in LA, they couldn't fill the seats. They had to cover some seats. It was like O.co out in Oakland. Like, they covered a lot of the seats, but it's not a venue of 60,000 people. It's a venue of 30,000. They still couldn't fill them. And you look at the LA Rams, same city, they can't fill the Coliseum at all. That's a crappy, crappy venue for an NFL game. But still, you're not selling tickets in one of the biggest markets in the country. That's a bad sign. And you also have your quarterback in Phillip Rivers, who's commuting from San Diego to LA every single day. He leaves LA at 2 p.m. every day and takes this souped-up SUV that has a big screen in it. He watches film on his way home. They got to think he's on his way out. And I think that rebuild that you speak of is coming maybe as soon as this offseason.
Yeah, I don't see how he plays there much. Maybe elsewhere, but I don't see how he plays there much longer. He's been vocally against playing in the city of Los Angeles. Yeah. Last 1 o'clock game. This is the Patriots competition next week. Tampa walk-off field goal. So they win the same way the Patriots lose. They beat the Giants. The Giants are now 0-4. The offense is slowly coming along, but that team, and I said this for going back into last year, that's not a good Giants team. It's a good player in Odell Beckham that will win them 4 or 5 games a year. He is that good. But there's not a lot of talent there. You talk about rebuilds. You talk about needing to blow it up. They don't have a contingency plan for Eli Manning right now, and he looks like he's done. They look like they need somebody now. If not now, next season. I don't think Davis Webb is that guy at all. They need to figure out what they're doing, and if it's going to be a sell year, they need to really sell and start getting Davis Webb some reps, because Eli's clearly done, and this team isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate, because I thought that they would be one of the contenders. I thought that they would potentially win that division. But 0-4 to start the year, and again, it's looking like another Manning is going down. It's going to be tough for this team. It really is. They just look so horrible. You start a season 0-4, you're not making the playoffs. It's going to be so difficult for you to make the playoffs. And again, it's not like they're in a crappy AFC East division where they don't really have other teams to compete with. You're competing with the Redskins, the Eagles, and the Cowboys. All three of those teams are playoff contenders. They're done. Their season's pretty much over in my eyes. And again, it seems like the Eli Manning era is coming to a close. Just a team that made a lot of great acquisitions, but nothing's really seemed to pan out for them.
Yeah, I just don't know how they can go on thinking that they are going to somehow win this season. They're 0-4. They have no offensive line. I got a family member who roots for the Giants and for the Florida State Seminoles. I was talking to him today. I said, you're really just watching the same team Saturday and Sunday. The eerie similarities in the inability on both of those teams to set any form of block or anything. All right, on to the 4 o'clock games here. I think we already start on the 4 o'clock games, pardon me, but couple more 4 o'clock games for you. The Raiders and the Broncos. Broncos take this one 16-10. The big story, Derek Carr leaves this game early with a back injury. It looked a lot like the way Tony Romo fell last year. And once again, the Raiders could be in that tough spot where you have a good team, but you need a quarterback to make it work. EJ Manuel, we know who he is. He didn't look good. He's not going to be good. The broadcast booth may be getting a call if Derek Carr is going to be out for an extended period of time, because
isn't Tony Romo?
Yeah, they're a very good team, but not without a quarterback. And Denver picks up, you know, another big win. They're 3-1 now in a team a lot of people thought was cooked with Trevor Siemian at the quarterback. They're not winning easy, but they're winning.
Yeah, I mean, they have a defense that's good enough to keep them in games and a quarterback who's serviceable, who gets the job done. I still don't think they're a realistic contender. Again, the Patriots are going to be in the AFC Championship. If they do meet the Broncos, I don't think the Broncos are putting up more than a few touchdowns on even this Patriots defense. They just have a subpar offense. And I don't think it's enough. I think the big story here is obviously the Derek Carr injury, and that's good news for the Patriots if he is out for a substantial amount of time. You never want to see a guy get hurt. But if it's the second-best quarterback in the AFC, that's not a bad thing for New England. Also, their run game was horrible. They had like 25 yards on the ground. Marshawn Lynch did nothing today. So this could be bad, bad news for the Raiders. It's not like they have a really good defense to keep them in games. Derek Carr was that team. If he's out, they're going to have to go elsewhere. I don't know if it's going to be Tony Romo. Maybe they try to ride it out with EJ, but if he is out for a substantial amount of time, there goes any shot that the Raiders had at, you know, competing for a Super Bowl.
No update on Derek Carr at this time. We'll probably know tomorrow. We'll talk about it more tomorrow on the show. One more final in overtime. This was the last game to go final. Cardinals win 18-15 over the 49ers. 49ers are now 0-4. Cardinals are 2-2. We saw the first real 10-minute overtime rule come into play as the Niners had a, what was it, 7-minute drive, 7 and change, but they ended up with a field goal. The rule is because they had a field goal, Cardinals get a chance to respond, but they had to run the 2-minute drill to respond because that first drive was so long. After John Brown almost made an incredible catch, just missed getting a foot in. Larry Fitzgerald, of course, the game-winning touchdown. Carson Palmer in this one, 33 for 51, 357, and the game-winning touchdown. But the 49ers, I mean, it's these are two teams that are rebuilding. These are two bad teams out there in that division. The Niners, you know, again, like the Browns, I thought they had a good enough offseason where they'd win a couple games. They have not started pretty. And like the Browns, they're building that defense first. They still need the quarterback. Brian Hoyer had his struggles.
Yeah, absolutely. I wasn't expecting much from the 49ers. I thought they had a really good offseason. And they got Brian Hoyer in there as their, you know, Josh. They're all in the same category. Brian Hoyer, Josh McCown, Tom Savage. Their guy, T.J. Yates, every single quarterback the Texans had prior to Deshaun Watson, they're not guys who are going to win you a ton of games. The 49ers are all right. The Cardinals suck. That's a team that has some talent or has players that used to be talented, but their ceiling isn't very high. It seemed like Larry Fitzgerald, though, that touchdown grab in overtime, seemed like he got a little banged up there. So that's something I'm going to look out for. It's a guy who's at the tail end of his career. And it would be a shame if he went out that way.
Yeah, I got up a little slowly. Obviously, we wish the best for him. Bad week for injuries, week four in the NFL. A lot of big injuries as we wrap up the games that have taken place. The game we have tonight, Seahawks and the Colts, Seattle at home. Colts are bad. Seahawks are good. Not much more to talk about. We're both going to bed early tonight. I'll throw out a hashtag shameless plug here. You're on the morning show tomorrow on 980 WCAP up in Lowell. Mm-hmm. I will not be on air, but I'm working an event for 98.5 The Sports Hub, so we each got to be up before 5 a.m. And I don't think we're going to miss much going to bed early here tonight.
No, this isn't a game I'm too upset about missing. Just like this game this morning wasn't something that I was really all that interested in. It should be the Seahawks all the way. If they struggle at all, then you got some real issues. But you got to think that this is kind of like a tune-up game for the Seahawks. And they should win this by a wide margin. The Colts are one of the worst teams in the NFL right now.
Look, they're 1-2. They've had their problems. So if Seattle does lose, I think it means that record is legit. They've played some tough teams, but no reason they shouldn't win this one. I think no reason they shouldn't win this one if they lose. Major cause for concern in Seattle. Then Monday Night Football, the Redskins visit the Chiefs. Not going to be a fan of this one if you like PC team nicknames. This is going to be a lot of offense. That's going to be a fun game to watch.
That would be a very good. I like that one. That'll be a very good game. That's definitely one that I will watch. And yeah, they're two good teams. The Chiefs have been one of the more under the radar teams in the NFL. And that's really, you talk about the Steelers being the number one team in the AFC. The Chiefs really get no respect. They play consistently well. Last year they were unbelievable for the last 12 weeks of the year. And still no respect. A lot of that goes back to the fact that Alex Smith is their quarterback. He's fine, but he's a game manager. He's what he is. But this will be a good game. It will actually probably be one of the better games of the weekend, I think.
We'll see what happens, because the one kind of team the Chiefs consistently struggle with for the last couple of years has been a vertical offense. And we know that's what the Redskins are going to bring. All right, that does it for our week four recap. You can follow us on Twitter at Calling It Podcast. Subscribe on iTunes and SoundCloud. We'll have a show tomorrow talking all four major sports. It's October. It's the one time of year we get to talk about all four things. We're going to take advantage of it. Nick Gelsel will join us from CLNS Media. We should have one or two more guests as well. We will not be back with this next week because me and Lebowitz will both be at the Red Sox playoff game. We'll figure something out. We might be on Twitter at Calling It Podcast. Maybe we'll Periscope or something from Fenway Park. We don't even know what time the Red Sox game is yet, so we will see, but we'll definitely be back with the recap in 2 weeks. So we'll talk to you again on the show tomorrow. We'll have two shows probably before the next recap. Lebowitz, any final thoughts?
No, not really. Just right, the NFL. The NFL seems like there's no real front runner. That's the one takeaway from this weekend for me.
And those are generally the best seasons. All right, he's Alex Lebowitz. Yeah. I'm Alex Barth. This has been the Call and the NFL recap for week four. We will talk to you tomorrow on the show. Bye.